We're back.
The hook is that we're back. We took a little trip to, was it Paris? Italy.
Oh, Italy. Yeah.
We were in Italy. We had, it's not bread. What is it called?
Gelato.
We had gelato.
Bread. I was like, what is he talking about? I was like, it can't be gelato.
Okay.
I was like, it's not a type of bread.
Okay. Yeah. So we got some gelato, got some pastries from a backdoor bakery. We jumped off a waterfall, landed in 3 feet of water.
Yes.
And I fell in love.
Yeah.
So what else could we have missed? Welcome back to Netflix Therapy, where we review only original Netflix films. We're your hosts, Danny
and Dirty, and we give you in-depth ratings, semi-expert opinions, and interesting facts about each film. That's great. That's wonderful. That's just great.
I'm not going to make it. Thank you for joining us today. If you haven't joined us before, this is a show where we review Netflix-only originals. We give movie stats, movie facts, our feelings, and provide you with the smallest dose of film therapy. This week's film was The Gray Man. This Gray Man film has been in the global top 10 for 4 weeks now. That's news. We need to announce that. We now, as of this very moment, we exclusively review global top 10 Netflix films, right? Top 10?
I mean, we could probably make exceptions, but that's a general rule.
The focus is on the most popular films right now of Netflix.
I know. I think this is a little sketchy, though. The top 10 for 4 weeks now. I mean, it's probably five now because they haven't updated it as of last week.
I think it was still in there.
Watching a movie about, you know, CIA corruption and secret world governments, I think Netflix is putting it at the top because they put a lot of money into it. So even if it went down, I think they would bump it up.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But Love and Gelato was in the top 10. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, that one, I think that was just purely statistics. I don't think they wanted it up there.
They're like, oh my gosh, the algorithm.
I guess it is a common name for the book, though. So anyways, plot overview. When the CIA's top asset, his identity known to no one, uncovers agency secrets, he triggers a global hunt by assassins set loose by his ex-colleague. The cast includes Ryan Gosling as Sierra 6, the main character, Chris Evans, Lloyd Hansen as the main villain, Ana de Armas as Danny Miranda, which I don't even remember hearing her name the entire
movie. No, never.
So I was
didn't she have another, wasn't she Sierra something too?
I don't think
she's like Sierra 2 or something.
Sierra Danny,
there we go.
Who knows? And then Billy Bob Thornton as Donald Fitzroy. The directors, as you might know them as the Russo brothers, Joe and Anthony Russo, known for Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, Captain America Civil War, and Winter Soldier, You, Me, and Dupree, which I didn't expect, and a few episodes of Arrested Development and Community, among a lot of other things.
Interesting.
So they have monopolized themselves.
They're popular.
A lot of film, yeah. Nice. Big name for Netflix, for sure.
What was the other brothers that we did with
Winter?
What was their name? The something brothers.
Oh, Cohen.
The Cohen, thank you. I was like, he's going to kill us if we don't get this.
I know,
this.
I was literally... Yeah, the Cohen brothers. So there's a couple... There's another one I remember, too. There's another, like, pair of brothers. So I guess it's just two brothers really like film. They get together, become directors. Kind of fun.
We should do that. We're not brothers, though.
The something brother.
The Dirty Brothers. The Durant... The Devil D Brothers.
Bastard Brothers.
Okay, movie stats. This is a Netflix-only original. It was released on July 22nd, 2022, so pretty recently. Budget of $200 million. This is one of the most expensive films Netflix has made. I'm pretty sure this had the same budget as The Adam Project. I think that was also $200 million.
No way.
I think it was. Look it up.
No, this is the most expensive.
No, I don't think it is. I think Adam Project, maybe the Adam Project was like 180. I think it was 200. I'm standing by my word.
You're freaking crazy.
This is
It's 116 million.
116?
Yeah.
Okay, I was off. That's super off.
I was like, I expected a lower, but how crappy it was. Anyways.
Netflix also dropped $450 million to the rights of Knives Out 2 and 3, but they didn't produce those.
I just put that in because the secret government thing, $200 million. That's a lot for Netflix.
Yeah,
and then they're dropping $450 million on Knives Out 2, Knives Out 3. They're like pouring money now into movies.
As they should. This $200 million came from all the layoffs that they did and Netflix paying Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans to be in the same film.
But this is big. This is like, this is some turning point. You know, this is Netflix.
I hope they keep doing it. I hope they keep doing it.
Yeah. I like it. It could be good. This could be a good turn for him.
Do we need to spend all of it on two actors? Probably not. But this had a runtime of 2 hours and 9 minutes. Had a ratings of 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. 46% on Rotten Tomatoes with a 90% audience score. That is a discrepancy.
Yes.
49% Metacritic, 88% Google reviews, which is in line with the audience score. One way to say three words. Are you ready? You have to start. I'm not ready.
Okay, good. I actually prepared the... Usually I'm kind of caught off guard. I had prepared the score and the words already.
So what score? The score at the end?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, my first word is catch.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember why I chose that
word. Catch me if you can.
No, what was the... Why did I choose catch? One second. I'm sure there's a hint. I chose them before. Okay.
We need some.
Oh, I remember. Okay.
Okay.
The thing is, I was like maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes in the movie, and I thought from very early on, I was like, what's the catch? Why is this on Netflix? Is it bad and they bought it out like usual?
They made it though.
Yeah. That's why I was just, the whole time I was like, what's the catch? And then I looked it up and they made it and they poured a bunch of money into it. And then I was like, okay, they're doing this to get back on top. So if this movie's good in your eyes and my eyes and the audience's eyes, it's going to put Netflix right back up there. But you look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm hearing you out.
Okay, but yeah, so I just wonder where the catch is. It's interesting to see what Netflix is going. So this isn't just a movie. This is a power play.
What was the other movie we did, Interceptor? The fact that that was top 10 and this was top 10, but the budget they put... I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say how I felt about this movie yet, but I prefer this over Interceptor every single time.
Yeah, so
and if this is the direction that Netflix is going, then so be it. Except that they're upping their prices to do it, which sucks because it's kind of expensive right now. But yes, catch. This is the catch.
The catch is yes. They're upgrading their game. My next word is Toronto.
Man from Toronto?
Yes. Yes. You see where I was going. It felt like Man from Toronto.
It did.
They had...
It really did. The plane scene?
The plane scene, yeah.
Literally the exact same. Uh-huh. I think it's the same plane.
And the whole, like, final half, it's like, we're going to hire a bunch of mercenaries, and they're going to come go after the guy, and then I'm going to come after him in the end if it doesn't work, which is...
The same plot line.
Which is what happened. And I don't know. There's other things, too, that just, like, felt the same. The Spy versus Spy with a little bit of quirky fun. I enjoyed it more because it did not have Kevin Hart in it. But... Either way, I thought it was very similar to that movie, which kind of threw me off sometimes. And finally, my last word is rip-roaring.
As in what?
As in full of energy, fun, thrilling. I thought I'd throw something that was actually like really pertinent to it. So I thought just high production value, looked good. I was really worried about the CGI in a Netflix movie, but it was good. It was like, it looked good. It felt really professional, like it should be on Netflix. So maybe that's what they're trying to make us think of Netflix.
It's not Netflix.
This is too good to be on Netflix. What is going on?
What is this, Amazon Prime?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the feeling, and I feel like they did that well. Specifically, like they're trying to up their game. They up their game. It's good. It's action packed. It's bunch of money in it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is it top 10? Should it be in the top 10?
Yes.
Yes.
Especially
what placement?
One.
Number one.
I haven't looked at the global top 10 right. I mean, I don't know what's on it right now.
You need to.
Yeah. It's probably the best, especially new stuff. If you had like a movie that wasn't a Netflix original on the top 10, maybe. But if it's Netflix original top 10, by far this is the top one.
All right.
You?
First word, Bond.
Bond?
James Bond.
Oh my gosh. Was it the 007 joke?
Yeah. Well, there was like, what was it, 5 years ago? There was that one that took place. I don't even remember, but there's a James Bond one where like everybody turns against him and then he's got to like fight his way out.
Oh.
Remember that one? It was like really big. They drove all the iconic cars, like every movie. It like took place in like the winter time. There was like this house he went in. It was a chapel and he like shot somebody and it was like, oh my gosh. So that's what this felt like. I was like, oh, the whole world turned against James Bond, only it's Ryan Gosling. So that, it did feel a little bit copy-paste. There was not a lot of originality to it. Other than Chris Evans. That's the right Evans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
Chris Evans, Lloyd, he was a little touch, you know?
A little spice?
Like, that should be, I think he should be at his own word, Chris. So my second word is Chris, because, or Lloyd. I love Lloyd as a bad guy name. Somebody's taking a shower in the middle of our podcast. I'm sorry if you hear that. So second word is Lloyd. I think unintentionally, maybe intentionally, Chris Evans like stole the show. Like I think it was supposed to be about, you know, CR6 Ryan Gosling and then this relationship with Donald Fitzroy, who's Billy Bob Thornton. But like once Chris Evans started taking the scenes, it was like the movie was about him, which I kind of liked. I think he was a redeeming quality. And third word is location. I didn't realize this until I was doing the facts afterwards, but all of those locations are legit. There was no green screen for when they were in all those different, was it like Italy, Prague?
Yeah, where's Vienna, Prague? Yeah. Prague, yeah. Monaco.
So like the whole train scene, like them fighting in the, him being handcuffed to the bench.
The bench.
That was all. And there was a fact about that that I want to go into real quick. I'm reading past all the bad reviews. Okay, so for the Gray Man filming, they ended up having to shut down, this is the freeway in Prague, shut down the freeway for 2 weeks. And by their account, the city of Prague was not happy.
You're kidding. They weren't happy about
that? I don't know why. Apparently they did the same thing in LA and nobody said anything, but they did it in Prague and people were pissed. And I would be mad if they did it in Salt Lake and shut down.
Can you imagine?
At all. It'd be like 2 weeks. Am I supposed to take the side route, drive around the mountain? Like, what? The locations, I think, were legit. And they looked legit. And I couldn't tell if they were green screen.
It looks and feels so much different than
every other film we normally watch. Yeah.
And the $14 million Interceptor budget.
That we're not even sure if that's how much it was yet. Is this in the global top 10? I mean, yeah. I don't know if I want... I don't know. I don't want to put it in the top one because I don't feel like it's a number one movie. But, like... Compared
this
to its...
This is the Netflix top 10. This isn't...
It's just like all the ones that we reviewed that were Netflix originals, like A Marriage Story. Like, we don't know how long it was in the top 10.
Hmm. So if it came out at the same time as like a Netflix original like that, then you'd question it.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, it's number one.
Okay.
Hands down.
That's great.
No reason.
I can respect that.
What do the critics think?
Oh. I'll tell you what they think. I'll start with... I'll just read the two first positive ones, okay?
And I get the negatives?
Yeah. First one by Anupama Chopra. Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling, and Dinesh fight for your attention. The plot is cliched, but the Russo brothers deliver a film packed with action, charismatic actors, and beautiful locations.
Hey, locations.
That's what they said. And you said charismatic actors.
Actors.
And I said action, so we basically covered everything right there.
Oh.
Mike Scott says it can fairly be criticized as big, loud, and derivative, but thanks to masterfully delivered one-liners from Ryan Gosling and top-shelf scenery, it is first and foremost a fun film.
Well, do you agree or disagree? I guess I should be answering that. Well, those critics.
Yeah, short-term memory. I don't know why. what do you think?
I like Mike Scott's more.
Would you say it's derivative?
I don't know where we're going with that.
I don't know what he meant by that either, but...
Actually, I don't know. Well, I personally wasn't in love with the one-liners from Ryan Gosling, so maybe I don't agree with that. But the scenery was amazing. It was a fun film.
Fun, eh?
It was charismatic. It was an action film. And if you like action films and you don't care about plot lines or how they end... This is a great film.
Yeah.
But for Netflix, this is an amazing film.
Yeah.
So I agree with both of them. And the scenery was top shelf.
So good.
Yeah.
Really, really good, actually.
I had to go back and rewatch it to appreciate it. I was like, this... Sometimes you just...
Yeah.
I feel like with Endgame and Infinity War and all that stuff, like, we've just become diluted to, like, real scenery. And, like, you just expect it because everybody's supposed to have billions of dollars to spend on a movie.
Hmm.
And Netflix doesn't. And now they had a little bit of money, and like we can appreciate. Okay, I'll read the next one. Wait, what'd you think?
I agree. I the main thing I agree with there is that the plot is cliched, but I think it's good that even the good reviews acknowledge that there's some flaws, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't think it's the best movie ever made. And not even the best action one, but especially for Netflix. And it doesn't have to be perfect to be a good movie, you know?
Of the last three films we've watched, I would recommend this one over that one.
Yeah. It's a refreshing one to come back on onto. If we watch Love and Gelato, we'd be like, maybe we should just end this podcast.
I literally...
maybe we just shouldn't get back on
maybe we're done. Maybe Netflix needs a break.
So this one, yeah, this one's top-notch.
They pop back after having Love and Gelato and The Interceptor being top 10. This is by Akil Arora. The gray man strips the best qualities of everyone involved. Oh, this is a negative one. There's a lack of personality to the filmmaking, and it's big for the sake of being big, leaving behind a tasteless pudding that reeks of a crabgrass.
Wow.
No, a cash grab.
Oh, my gosh.
A tasteless pudding that reeks of crabgrass.
I was like, that would also be gross.
It would be fitting.
Cash grab. What do you got?
I feel like any big action movie, it's more about action and, like, the visuals more than, like, what's this person's background and what's their motivations to, like, why they wake up in the morning and... Yeah. You know, what does he eat for breakfast and why? Did his mom make him that breakfast? You know, I don't feel like it's lacking any personality because they don't have, like, that big of a deep backstory. And it doesn't taste like crabgrass, you know? It's like a good pudding.
If you're gonna convict this film of being a cash grab, then what are you gonna say about every Avengers movie ever made?
Yeah.
Especially the most recent ones. Like, those are all cash grabs. Like, they're literally just sequels to the same stuff. Like, how many Spider-Mans can we come up with? How many Doctor Stranges can we come out with? How many... like, what is going on? Yeah, I don't think Netflix... And
Netflix could use a cash grab,
okay? Yeah, they actually need one.
I'm tired of watching $2 million budget movies on Netflix. They can grab some cash.
These student films that are making it to the top 10.
This isn't Disney, okay? We can have some money for Netflix.
Yeah, what about every single Disney... What are they remaking them? And to live action, they're cash grabs.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. I mean, but you think about how much advertising went into this. Like, I remember seeing previews for this for, like, the past 3 months.
Yeah.
Where, like, Chris Evans has the mustache, and he's a bad guy, and he's in his polo. Like, I'm like, oh.
Ryan Gosling, big names.
But then there was that film, the train movie with Brad Pitt that just came out.
Bullet Train.
That's a cash grab. If anything's a cash grab, using Brad Pitt in, like, a low budget. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Okay. David Walsh said, The Gray Man is very bad, almost instantly forgettable film. What makes things worse in this case is that the filmmakers, the Russo brothers, do possess a degree of perception, talent, and imagination.
So he not only punched the film, he punched the Russo brothers.
Yeah, he said, a little 1-2.
Yeah.
David. What is Michael Scott's boss's name? Is it David Walsh? What's his... I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean...
David... It's okay. Well, now I kind of want to know, actually. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the same name.
David Wallace.
Oh, that was so close. That was so close.
Oh, my god.
David Wallace. I was like, this sounds very... He wrote this.
Sounds like him.
Okay, what do you think? Is this okay? Are the punches landing or not?
Instantly forgettable? I wouldn't put it in that category at all. There's a lot of other movies that are instantly forgettable. Like, other movies, we literally forget by the next time we record an episode. Like, those are instantly forgettable. This one, like, it's, especially because it's got big-name faces, I feel like it's almost hard to forget. And it's got, like, unique, you know, like, how could you forget Chris Evans in this, you know? How could you forget Lloyd? And so, and the filmmakers, like, I don't know, maybe this is below them. They also have made, like, weird movies, too. Like, it's, like, they're not
compared
perfect.
To this one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're comparing to Avengers Endgame, you're like, yeah, maybe this is a little bit below. But I don't think it's below them, like, perception talent. Like, they still did a good job.
Yeah.
To say it's a waste of their time and talents to make this movie? No.
I just want to know the... Well, now I want to know the budget for, like, Infinity War and Endgame. Like, were they working with around the same money?
It's like $450. It's like the most expensive.
We'll get Infinity War, because I thought that was pretty decent.
You thought Infinity War was decent?
And what's the budget? Is that where they're... No, that's Civil
$316 million for Infinity War.
Yeah. Honestly, can't even remember which one Infinity War is.
Yeah, I know you can't.
Maybe that one's forgettable.
You're a poser. Endgame.
It's just hard to put this
Endgame on... Endgame was $356.
Okay. So they're both $100 million more.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was instantly forgettable, but I definitely forgot 95% of the plot by the time we were recording. I had to rewatch a lot because I think it lacks plot. Yeah. I think characters you remember
Yeah.
Lloyd. I remember Lloyd.
and if we're compared to Endgame, like, if he's doing it, Endgame had, like, 50 movies to back it up and built up to it.
Did you see they're trying to make this into a series? So it's from a book that has a series of The Gray Man, and they're trying to make a prequel.
I heard they're trying to make a sequel and a spinoff. So maybe that spinoff was the prequel.
Yeah.
Now that they got it out, they're like, heck yeah.
Who cares what Rotten Tomato thinks?
We don't have to pay Chris Evans anymore. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay him unless he's in the prequel, but I don't think it would be.
Oh, because he dies.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yes, he dies.
What's this last one?
This last one, I literally, it says, a blast, .. The film works because Brad Pitt is really funny and engaging guy. And I was like, okay, maybe it was like a joke. Because like, Brad Pitt just like, throws in actors. I looked it up. Like, I went to the website it came from. It's literally a rating from Bullet Train on the Gray Man's Rotten Tomato page.
That's hilarious.
I was like, you dropped the balls, guys. I was like, what the heck? So that's why I had to throw that one in, because I was just so confused.
This poor guy.
But I did see the fact that you put on there about Brad Pitt was initially cast as star in it, wasn't he?
Yeah. So maybe he's maybe he's onto something.
So maybe there was something along the lines of he almost was correct, but just that one doesn't really matter, but I just kind of thought it was funny.
Well, at the same time, Chris Evans was actually supposed to play the lead role too, and then he's like, I want to be the villain. First time he's ever been a villain in a film ever. So this was big for him.
I don't know, unless you count Knives Out.
Yeah, I guess he was a villain.
So basically, the whole time he was a villain, I was like, this is literally Ransom from Knives Out.
It is the same character.
Yeah, he's like just this snotty, like, acts like he's better than you, like, insulting people, not even thinking about it.
Did you like Knives Out?
I love Knives Out.
I thought it was good.
And I also like Ransom in Knives Out. So I also, like, I liked his character a lot. I hate how Lloyd is spelled with two L's. It's not exclusive to this movie. But the fact that Lloyd is with two L's
it is so
bothers
annoying.
Me.
It is annoying.
So... But it's a good character, and
I liked him.
Yeah, he did a really good job at being really unlikable.
There was another, if we're going into actors, do you remember the Indian guy?
Yes.
He was one of the assassins they paid.
Dinesh or something?
Yeah. So this is something about him. In one of the scenes, Lloyd addresses Lone Wolf, I guess his name is Lone Wolf, as my sexy Tamil friend, actor Dinesh, who played the character of Lone Wolf, is considered to be one of the sexiest and most accomplished actors of modern times in India. He has won over 45. He has won 45 awards and has featured 6 times in the Forbes India Celebrity List. I didn't even know they had Forbes outside of the U.S. This is how uncultured I am. And it says he has predominantly worked in Tamil movies. I don't know what that means. I'm probably some sort of studio. I should know this.
Probably Indian films.
But the funny thing is I read that, and I remember when he came on screen, I was like, that's an attractive dude. Like, that was the first thought I had. And then I brushed it away, because I'm like, no, don't think about that.
And then I looked it up, and I was like,
and then I looked it up, and I was like, I'm validated.
Yeah.
He is one of the sexiest men in India. Maybe that was a little spice. I don't think he played any freaking role at all in this film.
And it was really weird at the end. He's like, fully on just beats up Ana de Armas. And
kills
like,
her. Tries to kill her.
And he's like, actually, you can have it.
He's like,
actually, don't need it.
He's like, you know what I think about it? A flash drive? Worthless to me.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not getting paid either way.
Losing all my friends, risking my life.
There's one scene where Lloyd is like, get this man his cash. And then it cuts. I was watching a YouTube video about it. And the next scene is him being like, do not pay this man. And I was like, nice.
One of my overall thoughts of the film was, why do bad guys work for Lloyd? Because everyone that works for him dies.
Well, and that he's an extreme a-hole.
Yeah.
To specifically the people that he works with. Like, more so than he is to Ryan Gosling. Which I'm like, why is he so mean? Like, remember that scene where he's like, if you don't find them, I will beat you to death with this keyboard.
It's like, literally this guy.
It's like, he's just some computer hacker. Like, what the heck?
He's just so aggressive.
Probably an intern.
Yeah, I don't know why he would work for him. There's no way he's going to fulfill his promise.
No.
And he's the worst mercenary. But I guess he has a big name. And there's, when you put 7 zeros on a number, they don't question it.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever. Hey, Ryan, do you want to finish? Do you want to start with your thoughts?
What did you just say?
I mean, Danny, Danny, do you want to kill? I just read Ryan's thoughts on the freaking Google Doc.
Let's restart this.
Okay. You want me to retype it? I'll look at it and say, okay, Danny, what are your thoughts on the film?
Thank you for addressing me by my proper name.
Yep, whatever.
I'm going to start off by this was on their website. Or on a website that reviewed.
It was on their website, or just a website. It was online.
It was about the movie. So this is somebody's... This is the overall consensus of the film. This is a quote. The Gray Man has a star-studded outline of an entertaining action thriller, but it's filled in with lukewarm leftovers from far better films. I was thinking of, like, lukewarm gelato, like the last... Or what was it? Like, it's reheated microwave.
Oh, the lasagna.
Reheated lasagna.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
Talked about that for like 10 minutes. So I think, I mean, that's a good summary of the film. It's filled with stars. I mean, especially if you're getting the hottest guy from India ever.
Are you kidding me?
With probably the two most attractive American guys.
Are you kidding me?
Here we go. But I don't know. Just sit on that review. Sit on the leftovers. Sit on the lukewarm. Here are some good stuff. You need to look up the selfie with the kidnapped girl. I gotta pull this up for you. There's a moment where... So he kidnaps the old man, right? And he's got the daughter.
Yes.
And Lloyd is like, I had trouble making her smile. But he's like, teenagers don't smile. The selfie is like this guy who's like has a gun to her and he's like... It's so sad. I'm like, that is so sad. And she's like crying. I'm like, what a picture. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm
looking. You gotta look this up.
I'm trying to.
So that's one thing.
Okay.
Then there was a quote by Lloyd. He says, where Suzanne says, "Why are you walking like that?" And then Lloyd says, "Because I got shot in the ass, Suzanne."
I did actually audibly laugh.
He's limping out of scene. It's so funny.
He is way funny as a character.
Okay. This is mostly just comical moments that I liked from Lloyd that were my good things about this film. This is where he goes and he grabs the guy's ears and he twists it. And then he says, "Whatever I did to your ears, it's not even torture. I just made it up. It just came to me." And I was like, when I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, is that like...
Yeah, I know.
I was like, whoa, is that like a... I was like, is that a new form of torture? I've never seen that. He just makes it up. Thought that was funny. And the other scene I liked was halfway through the fight between Lloyd and Sierra Six. They're like fighting. He got his back stung in the water. I never thought of that. Like, remember when he like gets pushed over into the water and he's like, ah! You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because his back is all exposed. Anyways, that was interesting. Oh. I never thought that they would play with that. Because his back was burned. But by the flare gun.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, the point that I'm referring to is, like, they're getting in a fist fight. And then all of a sudden, Lloyd just sits down in the middle of the fight to empty his shoes of, like, rocks. And I was like, that is relatable.
That and he, like, hurts his hand. He punches him. He's like, ah!
Just screams. I was like,
because he has two hands. He blew off his fingers.
So a lot of my favorite things were just Lloyd.
That's good.
Every part of Lloyd. Yeah, he was just a funny character. He played a really good villain that just has a temper tantrum and is actually scary. Which leads me into my bad.
No.
I think they restrained Chris Evans. Maybe because they wanted to keep it PG-13. But, like, he... Like, with how he verbally says, like, I'm going to beat you to death with a keyboard. Or he, like, throws the girl. Or, like, I feel like they restrained him from how evil he could have been. And I feel like... I mean, he's like, remember he had the whole scene where he's like taking the nails out? Even that scene wasn't that, like, I thought he was going to grab the pliers and just bend his finger backwards until it wouldn't bend. Like, that's what I thought he was going to do. So I think that, I mean, he's like a torture, like his specialty is in tortures, and they didn't really use that at all. Mm. So I feel like making him more of a sinister character would have made it, you hate him even more. Whereas, like, I kind of liked him, which I don't think is really good for...
kids.
Yeah. The other thing I got, so yeah, give Chris Evans more space, like let him be more evil.
Of course, that's your bad thing, is that you want more of Lloyd.
I want Lloyd just to be worse than he is, because he's scary. He's jacked. He didn't use any of his strength for anything. I was like, beat the shiz out of some guy, like really torture him. Anyways, the hard drive is probably my biggest beef. The whole movie is about getting the hard drive, which contains like copies of like their leader being bad or doing illegal stuff, which Lloyd is totally fine doing and has no repercussions for. And so the whole movie is about the hard drive, and then they get the hard drive, and then they just don't care about it anymore. Like, it has nothing to do with the resolution. Nobody talks about the hard drive. Like, at one point, it literally just becomes like, Lloyd isn't even after going after the hard drive anymore. He's literally just trying to kill Ryan Gosling for Sierra 6. And, like, everybody's trying to kill Sierra 6. Like, trying to lure him in. He's more important than the hard drive at that point. Especially when the Indian guy just left. Why did Lone Wolf just leave? So, it kind of just felt like after the mansion, the whole plot just, like, fell apart. They're like, yeah, it doesn't actually matter. All that matters is that they have their little fight. So, that was frustrating.
That's fun.
And then, this is more of an interesting fact. Frequently, Sierra 6 uses people as shields when people are shooting at him. Which I've seen done before in other movies, but I was like, is that actually practical? So I looked it up, and this is what I found. And this is assuming you're trying to protect somebody, but he was using people to protect himself. Okay. It says, the guy you are protecting will still end up getting shot, but he will be shot with a less energetic bullet that will hopefully cause less physical trauma and result in slightly less serious wounds. Of course, if it hits a vital organ, all bets are off. So anything above a 9mm will go straight through somebody's body and hit you. And they were not using 9mm. They were using, like, big guns, like, big assault rifles. So CR6 would have died several times. But I was just like, can you use a body? You can't. It's also illegal to use dead bodies as shields. It was like, I didn't really read into it that much.
Do you need a convention, or is it, like, Utah, you can't do it?
Yeah, mostly in Utah. No, it's like one of those, I don't know.
War rules.
Look it up. Yeah, it's like one of the war rules. You can't use dead bodies as shields.
No mustard gas, no dead body shields.
Which makes sense. Especially if they don't block any bullets. So just remember that. Yeah, rewatch the film and be like, he died here, he died here, he died here. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I got. And my rating is a 27. I didn't like it. I really didn't like the film. But wow. For Netflix, I was like, this is okay. It's okay.
A little hard. I really liked it.
I didn't like it, but I'm like, this deserves a spot on the top 10. Like, you guys actually got it right this time. I said why I don't like it.
Okay, I know, I just don't understand.
Okay, moving past this.
Okay. I think I'm just gonna start mailing out my list because I feel like I put too much on there and I just rushed through it. So everyone,
speed run it.
Just send us your email send us your address to our email. And I'll mail everyone a copy of what I liked and did not like.
Okay.
But here are a few highlights. I thought I had a good pace. I had a good mixture of conversation, action, travel. I never felt overwhelmed by the action, even though there was a lot. We already talked about it. Really cool sets. But the first, the thing that impressed me is from the very beginning, I was hooked. That, like, wide shot into Bangkok with the, like, fireworks. I was like,
that was cool.
That looks cool.
Yeah, I thought about that.
And they also had one of the coolest fight scenes in that spot with, like, the fireworks going around them while they're in that little
thing. Yeah.
That was sick.
Yeah, that was super overlooked.
And they had a cute little bond, the Sierras. Like, even as he's dying, he's like, come on, man, just take it.
I forgot about that scene. That was really good.
Yeah. So it's really good there. I liked the dialogue. A lot of people bash the banter and the one-liners. It was probably, like, one or two jokes too much for me, like callback humor.
I didn't like any of Ryan Gosling's jokes. I didn't think they were funny at all. Most of them.
Well, yeah. 70%. I didn't, like, laugh. I thought they were clever.
Yeah, I guess.
But there's too much callback. Like, when they said, like, boring, and he blew himself up because that's what Chris Evans would say. And then he's like, I do this every Thursday or whatever.
Anything with him and her, the little girl and Ryan Gosling, I didn't like their dialogue.
Yeah.
It was cringy.
I'm a fetching sucker for wide shots. And they had some good wide shots, good drone shots.
They had some really cool drone shots, yeah. Yeah,
really cool ones. And one of my favorites of a wide shot is like when he's fighting the random guy in Claire's house when he's watching over her and it zooms out and there's like the flashlight moving around inside and there's like
that was cool.
Purely just quiet. And I'm like, that was just such a just 1 second good thing to throw in there that I was just like,
I literally turned to my wife when I saw that and I was like, somebody learned how to use a drone right there.
Yeah.
Just flying right out. I was like, all right, okay.
Like, cool scene wise, I love when he got just stabbed in the hand.
Oh.
As he, like, blocked it, he's like, nothing happened. There was no permanent wound from being stabbed through the hand with all those tendons and muscles.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to use your hand for the rest of forever. But it was cool. And then my favorite kill was when he was on the tram and he uses the reflection on the building and shoots the guy.
Okay, but you can't talk about this scene without following up with him running off the train while it's being derailed onto a car that's driving not quite as fast. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But that was a cool kill.
The shot was cool.
And then I had some thoughts about Lloyd, but we basically covered all of them. So those are all the goods. Bads.
I want to hear it.
I don't know why they put Ana de Armas in that suit and tie in that first scene. It looked awful.
I don't know why she was in the movie at all.
Yeah, I literally thought halfway through, I was like, so what is she doing here? Yeah. And then...
When she saved him, it made me mad.
Yeah, well, I put the fact on there. They said, when she drives from Berlin to Vienna using an electric vehicle, given the range and recharging times, it would have taken at least a full day to get there. And then her motivations, it's like, she goes there to get back her job, but she left when she's under, like, house arrest. Yeah, she's planning to get back her job.
She's losing her job.
I was like, your career's already over, bro. Yeah. I was like, getting him's not going to clear anything.
Remember when he's like, you're next after me? And she's like, what? It's like, yes, you're next. Like, you are disobeying orders. They're going to kill you.
Yeah, you're literally hostage. I'm in your car. Like, they're going to blow up the car, and you're in the car.
Remember when what made me mad is, like, I knew she was going to save him, like, save Sierra 6, but, like, they blew up that building. And then he had this whole chase scene, fight scene. And it wasn't until, like, the very, very, very end that she shows up and, like, shoots Lloyd in the butt with, like, a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Like, where were you this time? You were supposed to grab the car. You've gone for, like, an hour. Like, you were under attack. He was under attack.
Yeah.
She showed up way too late.
And then she should have killed him. There's so many moments in there, they just take, like, a look at each other and, like, smile and, like, go back to fighting. Like, I would have just went over and just shot Lloyd.
His head.
Yeah. It's like,
movie's over. Yeah. Yeah. How it should have ended right there.
Yeah, exactly. So, a couple of those. So I don't understand Anna, obviously, Ana de Armas' character, but I don't really understand Six's morals either. Like, I know he killed his dad to, like, protect his brother, and, like, he didn't want to kill the kid as collateral in the beginning, but he's, like, absolutely fine with killing, like, a ton of military police watching him in the basement, and then everyone that's guarding Claire at the end, he'll just murder anyone.
Yes.
So I'm like, I get, like, you're, like, supposed to be a good guy, and you, like, but you'll kill anyone.
He will.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, like, the guards are the CIA. Like, those guards are good guys.
That's just their job.
Like, they're just supposed to protect, like, this. They have been ordered to protect two people, and he's going to come in and kill everybody for those two people for no reason.
Yeah.
He didn't really need to save them because he doesn't care. Like, remember at the first phone call, he's like, you know what you're in for, right? And the guy's like, I know, I've been doing this for 60 years. And then all of a sudden he becomes like a pab the moment he gets caught. He's like, I'll tell you anything.
So I just, yeah, some motivations are skewed. There's some, like, I need the newsletter. But, like, there's no freaking way 4 and 6, when they're fighting each other, can hear each other banter while the fireworks are going off. There's too much banter with Claire. I don't like that she has any banter because, like, everyone has the same kind of humor. I wish Claire was just, like, an innocent girl that had maybe, like, a one-liner or two, but she was, like, the same
kind of funny. The
teenager. Yeah.
Yeah, she was, like, trying to have a big role.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you just calm down.
But what...
You're not supposed to be, honey.
Why did he care about protecting her? Wait, what was that? Hold on.
I agree, because it's just the niece. I mean, like, after he dies, you're like...
I'm like, does she matter? Like, it felt like the whole film was about saving her rather than this flash drive that's so important. Like, I thought... The whole film was about him trying to decode the flash drive and leak all this stuff, but then in reality, he's like, it's actually more important that I save this girl with cancer.
I did like Fitzroy's and Six's relationship, and I thought that was cute, especially because he didn't have a father. And I really like Billy Bob Thornton as an actor. So, like, when he was in it, I was like, this gets points for me.
Really? I did not like him in this film.
I really liked him.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Other than that, like...
If you don't bring up the flash drive, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm not going to bring up the flash drive. You just brought it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, just... Three more things. Okay, first off, I'm not a super big fan of super perfectly matched choreography with the Russos. It, like, feels like a superhero movie with, like, everything blocking, and whatever. So that kind of bothered me. For such a well-fortified base with, like, billions of people, they got in really easily. And...
A rocket launcher? And, yep. Like... That was it.
And the sniper couldn't hit her worth crap. He's on the roof and he's like, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. And then probably what bothered me and ended on a sour note for me is when he, like, flashback to the dad in the bathtub scene during the final fight. I was like, that seems super
forced.
Random. Yeah. I don't care.
He's drowning, and then, like, his dad is drowning him or something. This whole, like, flashback to childhood trauma. Remember they did this in Interceptor, too, where it was, like, flashback to her being, like, molested by this guy, and you're like, whoa! That has nothing to do with this. Like,
okay.
What was that about?
My rating, let me double check. I'm pretty sure I gave it 28.5.
Wow. This is the first time we've ever had the same rating.
No, I think you ever. Gave it a 20. Did you get 28?
Yeah.
Well, I gave 28.5.
So. I want to drop it to 26, but...
It's good. It. It's really good.
For Netflix,
yeah,
it was really good.
I don't know why. I really don't know why I got like kind of bored at times. Maybe because I just am losing attention span.
And the plot doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So that's the main point. It's like, if it's like any technical stuff, it did really good.
Yeah, I think what they're known for, they did really well on. I mean, they found a way to make Chris Evans funny in every single movie they're in, and he was funny in this one too.
Yeah.
I think I was disappointed with Ryan Gosling. I'm like, you weren't as much of a... I think maybe because Lloyd was such a big character that he was just kind of overlooked.
If I hear you say Lloyd one more time.
It was so good.
God.
I loved it.
Anyways, that's all I have. Watch it. You should watch it if you haven't.
If you have Netflix and you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're watching on Netflix. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming back with us. It's good to be back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to be back. Good to feel back in the podcast realm.
Yeah, I thought it feels good. I thought I would be, you know, happier seeing you again, but... It was good watching a movie. I was like watching it. I was like, I'm going to critique this.
I know. That felt good. I was like, finally, I get to say what I want about this film.
I can do whatever I want. So, yeah. Thank you. We're going to be releasing every other week for a little bit. We'll let you know if that changes.
It's going to be something in the top 10.
Yeah.
Watch the most popular movies. I'm sorry if I have to tell you that.
Yeah, it's just too hard And good morning. Good afternoon. Good night.
Good night.
I got to pee so bad.